Been playing any golf lately, Chris?
Haven't been playing golf, Shana. How about you?
I have been. I've actually been playing a lot of golf, and I noticed that many of the men that I play with bring along an extra pair of socks. Do you know why they bring along an extra pair of socks, Chris?
No idea, Shana. Why do the men you are playing golf with bring an extra pair of socks?
Just in case they get a hole in one. Ba-dum-bum.
Welcome to What in God's Name. She is Shana Appel.
And he's Chris Owen.
We are doing current events and culture using the lenses of philosophy, theology, psychology, and whatever else in the humanities we can draw upon.
That's deep. We are taking on the
programmatic secularists.
Thank you. Can either of us speak today? We are taking on the programmatic secularists who do not believe that religion has any place whatsoever in the public square, and the quasi-theocrats who believe religion has a place in the public square so long as it's theirs. To both of these groups, we say
no, no.
No, 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 no. Religion, theology, philosophy, psychology, the arts all have something to contribute to this conversation to help it expand beyond the binaries of economics and politics, help it expand into the realms of human flourishing. To the quasi-theocrats, we say that in a country as rich and diverse as ours, we must make room for multiple voices at the table.
We need richer public conversations, and What in God's Name's mission is to enliven and enrich the conversation using, as we've said, philosophy and theology, carving out a space, trying to push back against the hegemony of political, very narrow political ways of looking at the world, very narrow economic ways of looking at the world. Not to say that neither of those is important. They are important, but they have too big a place, too big a role in the stories we tell ourselves about our public life together. For those of you who are familiar with our show, we usually spin the spinny wheel, but today we're not spinning the spinny wheel. We have a unique and special show for you. It is a quiz. We are doing a quiz today. We want you to join along in the quiz. What is the quiz about? We are coming to the culmination of our extended series on democracy. And so the quiz that we are engaging in today looks back over this series, and we're going to ask a series of questions. I'm going to ask them to Shana. She's going to answer, but we want you to answer as well. And be in touch with us, because we need to expand the conversation. We want to engage with you. Send us an email, whatingods@ribeyemedia.com. You can find us there. You can find us on Facebook. Contact us that way. You can find us on our website, whatingods.com. There's a contact form there. Email us. We want to hear your thoughts about democracy and the questions we're asking today. We want you to participate with us in this quiz. Even if you come across this show a month from now, 6 months from now, even a year from now, we want to hear from you, because the shows that we've done are the beginning of a conversation. We want this series on democracy to continue with your input. We want to add your voice to this series, because it is democracy after all.
Just for our listeners' sake, when Chris told me he had a trajectory for the show and he was hoping I'd be able to get on board with it, and I thought, okay, fine, because, you know, that's how we roll. He never gave me any indication that I was coming here today for a quiz, so this will be interesting.
The quiz works like this, Shana. You have four choices for your answer.
Oh, good. It's multiple choice.
It's multiple choice.
Okay.
You can strongly agree. You can agree. You can disagree.
Or I can strongly disagree.
Or you're so with it. Absolutely. Yes, you can strongly disagree. There are 10 questions. We're playing 10 questions. We're going to move right along. Question number one, Shana, has to do with the quote you led us off with in this series, show number 401. Terry Tempest Williams her quote about the heart being the first home of democracy, and I'm not going to quote it exactly, but just to refresh our listeners, she says, the human heart is the first home of democracy. It's where we embrace our questions. She asks, can we be equitable and generous? Can we listen with our whole being, not just with our minds? Can we offer our attention? She's speaking of this in terms of what we offer to our fellow citizens, these people that we share this democracy with. Can we offer our attention rather than our opinions? And do we have enough resolve in our hearts to act courageously without giving up ever trusting our fellow citizens to join with us in our determined pursuit of a living democracy? My question, Shana, is this. The events of last January 6th, it's not a question, it's a statement that you can agree or disagree with. The events of last January 6th make this, quote, naive.
Well, I would disagree with that only because I think I'm with Terry Tempest Williams right until the last sentence where she talks about, you know, can we trust our fellow citizens? I think that would be naive given the events that went down in January. But the rest of it is certainly ideally what, in fact, democracy should be. So
I'm going to mildly agree that it is naive, and precisely for the reason you said. And I was thinking of the scripture in the scripture that Jesus asks us to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Mm-hmm. I think January 6th we crossed into a different territory where it's revealed that there are people who are not acting out of goodwill, and it's naive to think, I think it's naive to think that we can just go on as before.
Yeah. I mean, they may think they're acting in goodwill. In fact, I think they do think they're acting in goodwill.
And they're deluded.
The issue is they're not in reality, which is scary.
Statement two, agree or disagree. And this is new material, which you told me not to have, but there you go. We have new material. It's a quote from Reinhold Niebuhr. Agree or disagree? Humanity's capacity for justice makes democracy possible, but humanity's inclination to injustice makes democracy necessary. Do you want to hear that again? It's the first time you've heard it. Yeah. Humanity's capacity for justice makes democracy possible, but humanity's inclination to injustice makes democracy necessary. I strongly agree. Niebuhr is pointing to my mind, my interpretation, he's pointing to this dual nature of the human being, which is we can aspire to high things and good things. That's our capacity for justice, and that makes democracy possible. And yet it's our fallen nature, our tendency to enact injustice upon one another, to try to exercise dominating power over other people. It's that injustice, that impulse to injustice, that makes democracy necessary. In other words, for Niebuhr, the democratic process is the way for those who become oppressed to be able to press for change.
Well, in the ideal, I suppose that's true. It's hard to get rousingly behind that statement in the current times.
So you disagree with it?
Mildly. I'm not sure. I mean, maybe the ideal of democracy has the capacity to turn those with ill intent around, or to balance the scales of justice when they're out of balance. But, you know, historically, have we actually seen that? I mean, we've certainly seen efforts at that, but I don't know that we've ever actually seen it. So I agree with the first part of his sentence. I'm just not sure I can wrap my head around the latter. But that's okay. I still love Reinhold Niebuhr.
Statement number three, agree or disagree. American democracy has no future. this is a running thread in our democracy series. No particular show tackled this question. American democracy has no future, Shana. Strongly agree, agree, disagree, or strongly disagree?
Define American democracy. I mean, are we talking about the ideal? Are we talking about what's playing out today? Or, you know, what are we talking about here? America's
form. Do your best.
American democracy as it's playing out today on the public stage has no future.
So you agree or strongly agree?
I strongly agree because we're now in a place where the Republicans won't work with the Democrats. There are wings of the Republican Party that won't work with other wings of the Republican Party. There's wings of the Democratic Party that won't work with other wings of the Democratic Party. So if this is the governance of democracy, it is really broken. And, you know, it is sort of all of the sort of Americanism at its absolute worst that has come to roost in our bodies of governance, in the Supreme Court, in the House and the Senate. And they're just, these bodies are just so wretchedly dysfunctional.
I can't disagree with you on that. But in terms of this statement, I'm going to disagree with it. In other words, I'm not prepared to say that American democracy has no future. I disagree with that. Not because I have faith in humanity to figure it out in all of the ways you just laid it out for us that are true about our contemporary world, but because of my faith position, I don't, by nature or by nurture, foreclose possibilities in the future. So in other words, I think democracy might have a future because of divine intervention that would come. Like, I have no idea how we're going to have a future for American democracy, but I don't rule out divine intervention. Like, I don't know how else to say it. Like, and I think there are stories in our faith traditions where people are like, we have no idea how the future is going to be, but something happens
and
something new comes.
Yeah, and I don't believe that closing the door on American democracy the way it's playing out right now says that I have, you know, that I see no possibility. There is way more possibility past, you know, this is, you know, part of the frustration I think so many of us are feeling is we're looking at this and going, we can do better. We know we can do better. So I am an absolute invitation for possibility. You know, I just don't see it in this current system. I think something radical, you know, like a flood is going to have to take place.
Well, that's kind of
whatever.
What I'm pointing to. Yeah. Some kind of
radical restructuring,
break.
Yeah.
Right, because it's you can't really, I can't, and I think you're just saying it yourself, discerning the seeds of some kind of positive change within what is going on, don't see it. All right, number four, human beings by nature are not capable of sustaining a representative democracy or a republic over the long term. Agree or disagree strongly or not?
I disagree. And again, you know, only because I don't believe humanity is done evolving yet. And I think I don't think humanity is done evolving yet. I mean, we today have certainly demonstrated the inability to sustain it. That's inarguable. But as to what's coming down the pike, no, I think we can do better.
Yeah. And I do agree, and I figured you and I would have different answers to this. I tend to not think human beings by nature are capable of a lot of high, good things. I feel like humanity, we had this conversation in show number 402 about redeemed, mm-hmm. In my point of view, redeemed humanity has the capability, but humanity on its own, I don't see it. So, and I feel like that's a fun piece of back and forth that you and I have in terms of how we see human beings, which is part of theological and philosophical reflection about how that works. Number five, the concept of corporate original sin illuminates how systemic racism works. This is show 404. Agree or disagree? The concept of corporate original sin illuminates how systemic racism works.
Yeah, I think it's a real good analogy.
I do too. Strongly agree. If you want to learn more about how we talked about that, go to show 404. Number six, the harm to American democracy that has come from systemic racism cannot be fixed, only repented of and redeemed. I'm getting a little semantic here with the words I've chosen, so that might be catching you.
Yeah, because I'm wondering
what the difference is.
Well, no, I mean, I understand the difference between repentance and redemption.
No, I mean between fixing and redeeming.
Yeah, I mean, I have an understanding. I don't know if I have your understanding,
right.
But
right.
I'm kind of a restorative justice person on that edge of things. So for me, redemption isn't just talk. Redemption isn't just something magical that the Great Spirit bestows upon us. We have to be active in the cause of our redemption. So were we to be active in the cause of redeeming our nation from the original sin of, racism and original sins of racism and genocide, I think it would involve more, I think it would involve things like reparations, it would involve a kind. So I'm not sure that I see those things as diametrically opposed.
Yeah. What I'm trying to get at, which I'm doing clumsily with this statement, is to me the difference between fixing something and redeeming something. Fixing seems mechanical to me, that you can engage in fixing without really an emotional investment.
Wait, you can fix it without taking responsibility for having
and you can
broken
fix
it.
Exactly. So to me, the harm from systemic racism to American democracy cannot be fixed. I agree with that. I think it can be redeemed, because redemption involves just what you were talking about, the investment of the heart.
So then I think we're both strongly in agreement?
I think we're in agreement.
Note the date, the time, and the place on the tape.
It took us a while to get there, but we did. Number seven, power concedes nothing without struggle. That's a quote from show 406 that we lifted from the spinny wheel when it landed on this quote by Frederick Douglass. Power concedes nothing without struggle. Strongly agree, agree, disagree, or strongly disagree?
Strongly agree.
Strongly
agree. Who was it who said absolute power corrupts absolutely? The power that concedes, generally speaking, is not real power. I mean, it's easy. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been wanting to use this Latin phrase because I've seen it and read it recently. The libido dominandi, the lust for power. And again, this goes to my vision of the human being and the corruption of the human heart. There is a libido dominandi. Human beings, maybe it's white men. I don't know. Anyway. There is a lust for power. So power concedes nothing without struggle. Are you you're looking up who?
This is kind of interesting. John Dahlberg, the first Baron of Acton. He was a English Catholic historian, politician, and writer. The full quote, power tends to corrupt and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Great men are almost always bad men. Great men are almost always bad men, even when they exercise influence and not authority. Still more when you superadd the tendency or the certainty of corruption by authority. So interesting. Great men are always bad. See, now I can't buy that. I can buy that, for the average mere mortal. But when it comes to Buddha, when it comes to Jesus, when it comes to, well, I can't really speak for Muhammad, and we know that Moses had a couple of bad days. But, so there are these sort of exceptional great men who rise up and become these great leaders. And part of the reason, we accept them as extraordinary, Mahatma Gandhi, was a person who absolutely had power. Martin Luther King absolutely had power and authority. Mother Teresa absolutely had power and authority, but the way they wielded it was very different. And they were also well outside of the mainstream, weren't they?
Yeah, sure were. Yeah,
countercultural. Sure. Countercultural icons.
Absolutely. Yes. Number eight, agree or disagree, democracy and capitalism are incompatible. This was show 406, our most recent show on democracy and money, democracy and capitalism. Democracy and capitalism are incompatible.
Disagree.
I disagree as well, which puts us laissez-faire. Both somewhat on the optimistic side.
Laissez-faire economics, a sort of anything goes economics.
Which is where we are.
Which is where we are, yeah. That is incompatible with democracy. But there are other capitalist societies and other places in the world that are able to, you know, have free capital markets and still hold consideration for the citizens. You know, like, you don't get to create a product that addicts and kills hundreds of thousands of people and then still get to you can just keep doing that. You know, no. Certainly laissez-faire capitalism, no. But I don't think capitalism necessarily in and of itself is antithetical to democracy.
I heard a presentation once by a political economist talking about making capitalism housebroken. To make it more civilized, the power of government is necessary, and that the New Deal, for example, would be a good example of a moment when capitalism became housebroken, more civilized.
Right. And how interesting in this particular time and place when you look at President Biden's agenda, you know, to basically a new New Deal, you know, for America. And, you know, who are the people who are most vociferously opposed to it? You know, the people who have big money and big corporate interest in their pocket. Number nine
is another quote that you haven't heard yet. It's one of the reasons cited that Christians, but could be people of religion, or I'm going to phrase it to be inclusive of people who don't even have a religious view, but have some sense of the authority of moral thinking. A reason for us to believe that democracy is something to be desired. And it's this statement, agree or disagree, the sovereignty of God or the sovereignty of a higher moral awareness above earthly rulers confers the right of rebellion against injustice.
Say that again?
Yes. The sovereignty of God above earthly rulers confers the right of rebellion against injustice.
Wow, that's fascinating. I strongly agree. I like it.
Yeah, and I expanded it. I mean, it's the original statement is the sovereignty of God, but I've added the sovereignty of, like, the natural law, like that there is goodness to which we bind ourselves, a higher ideal, a higher moral of how we are to be, that is above earthly rulers. And I think that kind of architecture of the universe then gives permission to rebel if you are unjustly oppressed. Yes?
Yeah.
Agree? I strongly agree.
I mean, I think it's easier for those of us who are people of faith and have some notion or experience of God to, you know, go along with that one. I think for people who don't, that might just be confusing, but okay. I mean, I think in some ways it basically says, you know, look, there is an order, and the order is just, and the order is fair. And if you want to raise up a government or a house that is unjust and unfair, then, you know, God help you. Because, you know, the rest of us created in the divine image are going to have to object. We will have to rise up and say no.
Finally, number 10, this is a fun little just a toss away, but the spinny wheel is awesome and omniscient.
Well, the spinny wheel is definitely awesome. I'm not sure how omniscient it is. I mean, in and of itself, it doesn't present any real wisdom. It just asks questions, right?
But whenever it lands on something, it just takes us right into where we need to go. So I thought, I strongly agree that the spinny wheel has omniscience.
Okay. Well, I strongly agree that it's awesome. I'm a little unclear about the omniscient part, but that's just me.
Thanks for playing along, Shana, and for all of you listening today. That's our quiz, and we, again, invite you to participate. You don't have to answer all the questions. If one of those questions rang a bell for you and you'd want to respond, we want you on the show. We have the technology to do it, and we would love to talk to you and get you on the show. Be curious, Shana.
Go deep, Chris.
And shine light.
You have spent the last 20 minutes with What in God's Name. We thank you all for tuning in. Our show today and every day is brought to you by our generous sponsors at Patreon. If you wish to join our donor list, we would be very grateful to you. And you can do that by going to Patreon, Patreon.
Very good.
They're a .org.
They're a dot something.
They're a dot something. Very helpful. Go to Patreon. Make a donation. Chris and Shana will thank you.
Yes, indeed. And you can check us out on our website, whatingods.com, Shana. And since we do love spelling, let's try spelling this one as well.
WHATINGODS.
Great to be with you today.
Always great to be with you, Chris.